Test.
God, you are my God.
You are our God.
Yes, indeed. Okay, Psalm 118.
Thank you.
But you do not projects, grab your cupcake and go outside.
And I will not be there, but you can go out and eat your cupcake without me. I got confirmation. I got to also serve her communion after the service today, so...
You get to.
I get to. That's a gospel thing. I want to. Well, 65 years ago, my mom went into labor, and she had me. And little did she know. And she's not even on.
Nobody's on. We're having problems.
That's okay. Well, I'll tell you anyway. She just gave birth and I survived. So, Vern, I'm 35 years younger than you, which makes me a young puppy.
Yeah.
So, just want to greet everyone that's here today, and want to thank you for the birthday cards, the birthday wishes, those kinds of things. You didn't have to do that. I was hoping I could just come in and no one would know. But then I told Charlie, I said, Charlie, I read the email. I got a bone to pick with you. You don't have to tell everybody that this Sunday is my birthday. And so we did survive through that.
Don't tell me not to do something because I might get
choice. But thank you for your kindnesses. There's some things that are not in the bulletin today, and I'm going to just focus on those that aren't in the bulletin. The rest you can read or have someone read them to you. But Linda Floss has an announcement about the trunk and treat.
I'll send it.
Linda?
I'm sending it for Linda. just to plant the bug in your ear that we are going to be doing trunk or treat, the city of Milford is still doing it. If they were to decide not to do it, then we won't, but, you know, we're just kind of putting it in your, you know, in your ears right now and just kind of letting you know that it's around the corner, so... we'll probably use the same times that they would for trick-or-treat, too. If anyone is interested in opening up your trunk and driving up to the parking lot there that night, I'm thinking it's probably around 4, we'd probably go from about 4 to 5:30. I think they can't, that's kind of their time frame, too, at the city of Milford. But we will keep you posted as far as, but, you know, if you happen to see candy around in the stores or something to contribute, that would be great. And like I said, it's just all tentative because of, you know, the, I don't know, what's going on in the world here right now.
Do you realize,
Thanks.
Lisa, it's also a full moon?
It is a full moon.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Linda.
Anytime, Tom.
Another announcement is by Bev Knott.
Okay, it's Reaching the Unreached. This is the time that we have our basket ministry fundraiser. And if you'd like to donate to that, there's empty baskets out there that you could put something in. And it will go for 3 weeks, 3 Sundays. And so I thank you in advance for anything. We haven't been able to go to churches because of the COVID thing, and so we didn't get to go to Ghana this year in Togo, but we get weekly reports from them, and the ministry continues, and it's very exciting what they're doing there. They've been able to go individually, you know, Samson and Ahmed that have been here, they've been going individually and working with the missionaries. So I think work is going forward, but it's just in a different way, just like we are here, having to look at things just a little from a different slant, but it's moving forward. So we thank you and praise you for your prayers for us and for reaching the unreached. Thank you.
Thank you, Bev. And then you probably noticed there's a shopping cart out in the narthex as you come into the church. And that has to do with Operation Christmas Child. And if you would want to help put in items that could fill a shoebox that gets sent to kids somewhere in the world through the Samaritan's Purse, you can help by putting them in that shopping cart. And there are items for boys and girls from ages 2 years old to 14 years old. And if you want to make your own shoebox, you can do that. If you got any questions on that, you can talk to Carol Banta, who is right there. Raise your hand there, Carol, just so you can know who you are. And if you've got questions, see her. So, I think last year we had 100 boxes.
Didn't we? 110 last year.
110?
Yeah, we'll fill as many as we can this year.
Wow. Great. Let's break the record as much as possible this year. But we'll see what happens, and we appreciate anyone that helps with that. Also, it's not in the bulletin, is that there is a church council meeting this Tuesday night at 7 o'clock for those of you that serve on the church council. That's all I'm going to say here this morning. I'm going to turn it back over to the praise band as we sing All the People Said Amen.
Amen.
And all the people said,
Amen.
Pray, O Lord Jesus,
I cannot come.
The master rose up in anger, called his servants by name, and said, "Go into town, fetch the blind and the lame, fetch the peasant and the pauper, for this I have willed. My banquet must be crowded, and my table must be filled.
I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now.
Then all the poor had assembled, there was still room to spare. So the master demanded, "Go and search everywhere, to the highways and the byways, and tell them to come in. My table must be filled before the banquet can begin.
I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have buried a wife. I have bonded a cow. I have fields and commitments and across the river some. Great old excuses. I cannot come."
Now God has written a lesson for the rest of mankind. If we're slow in responding, He may leave us behind. He's preparing a banquet for that great and glorious day. When the Lord and Master calls us, be certain not to say,
"I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have married a wife. I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments. God fostered me some. Very old excuse. I cannot come."
Song for the month. Last week we started it with the same love. Continue with that this morning.
Praise be, may be seated. As we kind of go into the message today, because it's my birthday, I will just say there'll be no sermon today. Happy birthday to me.
Your mom is on.
My mom is on? Hey, Mom. Happy birthday to me. Thank you for giving me birth. The message today, I invite you to stand, is from Matthew. We've been going through the book of Matthew, different highlights along the way. And it's chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. It's entitled The Wedding Invitation, is the name of it. And so the songs that Bob has picked out today and the praise team have sung kind of go along with what the message will speak to us today. I read in God's name, Matthew 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the banquet, come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Many are invited, but few are chosen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And I just pray too, Lord, for my friend that Jeff Kyle, as he has hip surgery tomorrow. May your presence be with him, be with the doctors that do the surgery and all those involved. May you see him through this, and may he continue to golf even after this, come next year. And so we just pray your blessing this morning on your word that we have before us. Use it, we pray, in every heart that's here today and those who hear it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I think I got my sermon here. I didn't leave it at home. That's always a fear of a pastor. I always think of what would happen one day if I opened up my Bible and the sermon's not there. I would try to make sure you didn't know that and kind of wing it. But I won't do that today. I've done over 100 weddings in my lifetime, and plus I've had two daughters that have gotten married and been a part of that whole process. You know, it's better to have sons when it comes to a wedding than to have daughters. There's much more involved when you have daughters, and there's more drama with that as well. But you've probably noticed in the mail, nowadays you get a little card in the mail that says, "Save the date." No, we never used to do that. But save the date, they're just announcing their wedding and it's coming, and get closer to that wedding day, then there will be an invitation you get in the mail, and depending upon where the wedding is at or who it's from, you decide if you're going to be able to make it or not. And sometimes you can, and sometimes it just isn't going to work out that way, but you are mindful of them. You may send them a gift on the internet or by Amazon, or you may send a card. Who knows? You can do it a lot of different ways today. But I only can relate to when I got married, or when we got married. You know that you got tuxedos. Yeah, they call them tuxes. And the bridesmaids, they got their long dresses, and they look nice. And you know, do they still do that today?
Some
do. You know, some get married in church, some get married outside, some get married in their home. I remember one time when I lived in Wahpeton, North Dakota, the church moved to Minnesota, and I had gone down to the courthouse to get the marriage license, or no, the couple did that. And so they got it on the courthouse on the North Dakota side. And as I read it, I'm going, I'm marrying them in Minnesota. And the marriage license says North Dakota. So I went and I took the marriage license. I went to their house. They lived in on the North Dakota side. And so I married them in their house before the wedding. I had to do it again. Just to make it legal.
Wow.
So I just go like, I'll never do that again. Pay closer attention to that. What I want us to remember about the text here today is it has to do with a wedding invitation, of a banquet. And it's not given by just anybody, it's given by the king. Remember, this is a parable that Jesus is saying to the Jewish religious leaders. We've already looked at a couple of them before. One was the father who had two sons. One son to go out and work in the vineyard. He said no, but later on changed his mind. The other son said he would, and he didn't go. And he asked the Jewish leaders which one did the right thing. And they said it was the first son. And they were right. And he said prostitutes and tax collectors are getting to heaven before you guys. They didn't want to acknowledge that John the Baptist was a prophet and that his baptism was from heaven. But they could tell regular kind of things, what was happening, what was going on. But they just didn't want to go there with John the Baptist. And so Jesus was just telling them truth. You're there, you know what's going on, you can tell the difference between right and wrong, but you refuse. You refuse to say that John the Baptist is a prophet, and his baptism is from heaven. The next parable that Jesus tells them was last week. Had to do with, what was that last week? Anybody remember last week's message? Ask the pastor if he remembers. Of course not. But it had to do with a landowner who had a vineyard. And he sent servants to tell those that he had rented the land out to that it was time to kind of cough up some fruit from the land that was his, and that they were renting it from him. And so he sent servants and even sent his son. When they saw the son, that is when they said, well, let's take him. They threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. And he asked them, what are they going to do when the landlord comes? And he said, well, those wretches, they should be punished, and he's going to punish them, and he'll give his land to somebody else to rent. And they could tell the difference there, what they would do. And we know that, we know about the New Testament, that the parable is really talking about Jesus, what's going to happen to him. And Jesus is telling this parable of something that's going to happen which no one would ever agree with. And so we come to today's parable, and it's about a king. And the son is getting married. He has prepared a banquet. The king did not send out any kind of save-the-date cards in the mail. He didn't go on Facebook. He didn't text it out. But he did send servants to go out and invite all who could come. And it seemed like no matter where they went and who they invited, the people just refused to come. Didn't want to have anything to do, or they had other things on their plate, other things that they wanted to do themselves that would take them away from attending the wedding and the banquet. Now, as a pastor, what I've been finding over the years is that you have a number of people who come to the wedding of a couple, but boy, when you go to the reception afterwards, you kind of wonder, where did all these people come from? The people will come for the meal, but they won't come to the wedding, is what we see today. So the king did what he can do. He's not ordering them. He's not demanding that they come. He's just sending out invites, an invitation. No, you can come, or you can choose not to come. So the king invites on his terms. And in this day, when you have a wedding, the Jews knew how to have a wedding. It would last like for 7 days of celebration. And the king would go to all the people who would come to the banquet, and he would go and visit with everybody. He would talk to everybody. And when you came to the banquet, the king provided a robe. The king provided the wedding garments to all who would come. We found one guy who didn't have wedding clothes on. And he says, calls him friend. How did you get in here? How come you don't have any wedding clothes? And the guy couldn't say anything. He was just caught. And so he had the wedding attendants tie him up and throw him out of the wedding banquet. I've been kicked out of a couple of things in my life. It's not a fun thing to be kicked out or asked to leave. One was when I was in high school. I went to a different church's hayride that they're having in the fall. And I took with me a friend. Now, I am 98 pounds soaking wet. The friend I took is about 250 pounds. And he was very boisterous. I did something I regret doing to this day, but at that time I gave him some alcohol to drink on the way over to this hayride. And by the time we got there, he was three sheets into the wind. And we had to find the tractor pulling the flatbeds and some of the people we knew on there. And his name was Duke. Not his real name, but we called him Duke. And he would go, yeah! And he would run after that hay wagon, and he'd get on it, and we came back into the farmyard, and the parents, the people who owned the farm, the dad came out and said, who brought this guy? I did. And he came over to me, and he said, did you bring this friend of yours with you? And I go, yep. He said, well, I'm going to ask you to leave. I really don't want him around. And if you're a partner with him, I don't want you here. I said, okay. Got him into the car, and we left. And it was a terrible, terrible feeling to be asked to leave a youth group's hayride. But the worst was yet to come. On the way back to town, he has to throw up in my car. And I'm saying, Duke, hold it, pull over to the side of the road. I open the door, he falls out of the car and rolls down the ditch, throwing up. How am I going to get this guy back in my car? I still, to this day, don't know how it happened. But he got back into my car. And I knew his dad. His dad was an ex-Marine. And I could not take him to the house and say, here's your son. I gave him the alcohol that he is drunker than a skunk. He can't even walk by now. And so I left him on the driveway. And I took off. Little did I know that his older brother was home on leave from the Marines. He comes flying down the street. I'm down there with my friends. And I see this guy come flying down the street. And I'm going, uh-oh, this isn't going to be good. And I saw him get out of his car. And he is looking for who was with my brother. And everybody's pointing at me. And I thought I was dead meat. He said, how could you leave my brother in the yard? He could have thrown up and choked on his vomit. You could at least knocked on the door and told my folks you brought him back. And I said, I was scared what they would say. And I go, yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. And he was so mad. I was just waiting for him to punch me in the face. And I was just saying, how much is this going to hurt? But he never did. He just chewed me out good. And I went home, and that cured me. I'm never doing anything like that again. It's terrible. And here we have a guy that is removed from the wedding banquet. I know what that's like. Have you ever been asked to leave someplace? Probably not many of you ever have. But it's not a good feeling by any means. The king provides the robe, provides the wedding clothes for whoever comes to the banquet. He goes, when he sends out some servants, they also even tell the people what is going to be served. He has butchered his ox and fattened his calf and cows and so you could say that there's going to be steak there, there's going to be brisket, there's going to be filet mignon. Yum, yum. And people still did not want to come. It reminds me of when God invites us to come to his table, which he will one day. He's going to provide a banquet for those who love his son Jesus Christ in heaven. And he will serve it. He will serve us. That it says in, there's a verse in Isaiah 61, verse 6. It says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You see, God calls us to come to this banquet. It's like the song we sung. God calls us. He keeps calling us by name, wondering if we will come. It's an invitation. But he leaves that choice up to you. So if God is calling your name this morning, of asking, you know, have you responded to my invitation to come to the wedding banquet? Have you come? Have you responded? You see, God does not want us to miss heaven and what he has planned. He doesn't want any of us to miss that. Heaven is going to be a great place. There's going to be a great wedding banquet that's there. He doesn't want anyone to ever miss that. None of us. And so he invites you today to come and be a part of that wedding banquet. He invites everyone. He doesn't just pick and choose. He invites everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you have, what you don't have. He invites everyone. And he provides everything necessary in his Son, Jesus Christ, as far as what we need. Jesus provides it all. He did it all for us on Calvary. He laid his life down for us because he loves us. And so the garment of righteousness is what God gives to us the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. We ask him to forgive us of our sins. And we're given that robe of righteousness. There is no way that anyone will ever get into heaven without a white robe of righteousness. White means holy, pure. We've been forgiven. We're under the blood of Christ that takes our sins that are scarlet, red as can be, and he makes us as white as snow when we're forgiven. Did I say snow? That's coming. Snow. White. Pure. But that robe and that garment is given to those who come to Jesus. Does that sound like you this morning? God's called. He's called your name. He's probably called your name many times, but he's calling you today. Will you come and receive his invitation? Not because you deserve to be at the banquet, but that he cares about you and he loves you and he wants you there. He will provide all that you need. It's just for you to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, heaven is like a king whose son is getting married and he prepares the wedding banquet. There's invitations, Lord, and there's a lot of excuses given by people who do not attend or do not want to be there. Lord, we can be here today and be like that. We can have our own excuse. It can be hunting, it can be fishing. It can be playing golf. It can be going shopping. It can be just, I'm just plain tired, I just want to sleep in. Be just hanging out by the lake. Lots of excuses. And Lord, you need to help us to watch out that we don't put off accepting your invitation for things that just will not matter in eternity. So you're calling. You're calling each of us by name here today. And by faith, we accept that invitation. By faith, we say, Lord, I don't know why you even called my name, but I'm glad you did. I'm glad you are. And so here am I. I want to be yours. Not only for today, but for every day. You will hear that response. You will make good on every person who responds to your invitation. You will receive him or her by faith today as we come to your Son, Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for the gift of eternal life that you promised to those who come. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. That's the invitation as well. Just because we go to church, we come to church, we listen to church service, it can be good, but only God can change us on the inside, change our hearts. And so, Lord, I know that you're speaking to people today. You're speaking to hearts because your banquet is ready. And you're calling out our names to come. Come because we want to, not because we have to, but because we want to. And may that be the case today, that we want to be a part of this banquet because you, Jesus, have invited us to come. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. Let us stand as we do that. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit
and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Before we sing the last song, let's give you the benediction today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace because you've responded to his invitation to come and be at his wedding banquet through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Instructions to help celebrate Tim's birthday is to keep cupcakes out in the narthex. You go, get your cupcake, and go outside. Happy birthday, Tim. Happy birthday.